Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our continued conversation with 96-year-old Herb Ford of Exeter, California, a native of San Benito, Texas. He served in the Merchant Marine in World War II, followed by the Army Air Corps and the Air Force, and he remains extremely active today. When we left off, he told us he drives his electric car from Exeter to an office in the Evans Property Management Building in nearby Visalia, where he remotely runs the Pitcairn Island Study Center that he founded decades ago at Pacific Union College.
I don't know how many 96-year-olds you know that drive to work 5 days a week to sit here and run an international study center where people, anyone in the world that wants to know about Pitcairn Island, they basically have to come to you, right?
It may be unique or not unique, but you know, the definition of the word unique is it can't be very unique or probably unique or something somewhat unique. It's either unique or it's not. Mm-hmm. And I imagine it is unique.
I guess the big question is, why? Why do you continue to choose to spend your time and energy on this?
Because I enjoy living day to day, I have a hope for the future. That's called the blessed hope. And it's promised in the Bible to anybody who wants to find it. It keeps me singing, as it were, all along the way. But I just enjoy it. Have friends everywhere. And don't do enough for them, as I should, but I still count them good friends.
How many times have you been to Pitcairn Island?
I've only been to Pitcairn twice, but it's very difficult to get Pitcairn. Not as hard now as it used to be, but if you were to go to Pitcairn Island, you'd fly from San Francisco or Los Angeles to Tahiti, to Papeete in Tahiti, which is the capital of Tahiti. And once a week on Tuesday morning, an airplane of Air Tahiti flies out of Tahiti down south to a little island called Mangareva in the Gambier Islands. And there's a little black pearl fishing village called Rikatia, where there's a coral airstrip that this plane flies to. And there, at certain times of the year, is anchored a ship that will take you on from there to Pitcairn Island. It's about 2.5 to 3 days on the water until you get to Pitcairn. But it's a most enjoyable time to go down to this place. This little village of Rikatia, which is a pearl farming village, is so interesting because in the mornings you see all the little boats puttering out into the water to their different farms that are underwater doing these black pearls. Some of the most beautiful black pearls in the world come from this little place of Mangareva. And that's 310 miles away from Pitcairn Island. It's 1,200 miles away from Pitcairn Island to the closest hospital, so you don't want to get too sick on Pitcairn Island. No supermarkets or anything. They do have a little co-op store that the supply ship comes every 3 months, and if it's not storming off the island, then the supplies can be offloaded. If it's storming, the ship just has to go on, and it'll be another 3 months before those supplies can come to the island. They have started making Pitcairn Island as a tourist destination these days, and it for the first time is giving them some hope economically. And of course, one would say, well, why don't they all just move out of Pitcairn and go to some interesting place? But you know how it is about home. Do you want to leave your home? they don't want to leave their home. So that's the way that is. But they are very crafty people. They do crafts and things like that, but anything that breaks down on the island, they're very good at fixing up. They're one of about 15 British overseas territories, they're called. And of course, all the string of islands that are close to them, starting with Mangareva back up to Tahiti, are all French islands. So you have this little tiny British possession way out here in the middle of nowhere. And the only reason that Britain continues to help support Pitcairn Island is that they want to belong to a thing called the Pacific Economic Council. The rules for membership is that you have to have some inhabited dot of land in the Pacific to be a part of the council.
And I just have to ask, on a personal note, was it a thrill for you the first time you set foot on that island that you had read so much about and learned so much about?
Yes, it was. As much because I would be meeting friends that I had corresponded with for years and years, you know. Actually, the way I went to Pitcairn the first time was at a call from a man. He said, "You don't know me, but," he said, "I have got your name from the Adventist headquarters in Washington, that you know an awful lot about Pitcairn Island." And he said, "I'm with an organization called Youth with a Mission, and one of our little ships called the Pacific Ruby is going to go to Pitcairn Island soon and do good work on the island for the Pitcairners. Going to paint the church and repair fishing boat motors and all kinds of things. And we've decided that if you will come with us and orient us, tell us all you know about Pitcairn Island as we travel down to the island, we'll take you down there, no cost to you." And I said, "I'll have to think on that, but I won't think very long." And so I went down and we picked up the world president, Cunningham, his name was David Cunningham. He had flown into Rikitia at that time and had a wonderful visit, all because of the good services of YWAM, as it's called.
And I guess maybe I should ask what sounds like a dumb question, but for a lot of people, they might be asking it. Why does Pitcairn Island matter? Why is it significant in your mind?
Because it was created, and the people on it were created, and they have an interesting, more than just a locally interesting background. They also are part of the family, spiritual family that I'm a part of. All those things factor into why Pitcairn matters. It matters to me. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it matters to anybody else or not, really, but it does matter to me. And it seems to matter to others, too.
And I guess one last question on that, and if there's anything you want to add, feel free. Sure. But whether it's books or movies or just its significance in the culture, are there any misconceptions about Pitcairn Island or the Mutiny on the Bounty that maybe you can dispel?
Well, it wouldn't be an original dispelling, I'm sure, but Captain Bligh, the captain of the ship Bounty, has been almost universally portrayed as the worst captain in the world. And the truth is that the record shows that he was not any worse than other British naval captains at the time, and indeed was softer on his sailors than many of them were. Actually, there was a Captain Edward Edwards who was sent in the ship Pandora from Great Britain down into the Pacific not long after the mutiny to find the mutineers. And Edward Edwards was a guy who, a captain who would easily have allowed death to anybody that displeased him. His ship picked up about 14 of the mutineers, and then as it was going back to England, went on the Great Barrier Reef off of Australia. And as this ship was going down, these 14 people were in a cage. These 14 mutineers were in a cage built on the deck of the Pandora, a la Pandora's box. And as it was going down, the other officers told the captain, "We need to unlock them to let these guys out, or they're going to drown." And that guy refused to give the keys until the very last moment, and the ship had canted to such a degree that water had come in, and three of those that were in there had drowned before they were released. So Bligh has been misportrayed, I think, too much. And that's one thing that comes out of the story that could be different.
You never know what you're going to learn on Hometown Heroes. If you want to learn more about the Pitcairn Island Study Center, I have a link for you online. And you'll also find a link to Mr. Ford's book, Flee the Captor. And you'll see a photo from his recent honor flight to Washington, D.C. in front of the U.S. Marine Corps Memorial. What is Mr. Ford's connection to that larger-than-life statue of the raising of the flag atop Iwo Jima's Mount Suribachi? Well, he's going to explain it to us when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this. If you spent much time listening to Hometown Heroes, you've probably heard veterans from all over America talking about the mission of the Honor Flight Network, taking World War II veterans free of charge to see their memorial in Washington, D.C.
I wanted to see it. I've always wanted to see it since they built it. And to see all those guys there that did survive. And then they get emotional. Pretty soon you get emotional, too.
I tell you, that honor flight, I just can't believe what a wonderful deal it is.
Everywhere people came up to us, military guys and civilians, and wanted to shake our hands and thank us for all we did. I kept saying there were 16 million of us, you know, and I only did a little piece. But it was just an emotional high.
When it comes to our men and women in uniform, all gave some, and some gave all. A reality underscored as veterans visit the World War II, Korea, and Vietnam memorials and Arlington National Cemetery.
All those white crosses, they go into your heart. You just know that there's good guys there, but they had to die. For what? So you could live.
And while they are still living, Honor Flight gives the rest of us a chance to express our gratitude. Won't you encourage the World War II veterans in your life to put in applications for this all-expenses-paid journey to their memorial?
It does something for each of us who have been veterans who go back, whether we're a guardian or whether we're honored as a guest on the flight. It completes our life, really. Gives us a sense of fulfillment that we weren't able to have before, I think.
If you live near me in Central California, find Central Valley Honor Flight at cvhonorflight.org. Wherever you're listening, there's a hub in your area, and you can find it on the national website, honorflight.org. Sign up a veteran, volunteer to help, or donate to this important and time-sensitive mission. It's amazing what it means to these members of our greatest generation.
I'm telling you, they make you feel so good and so wonderful. Let me tell you, I can't preach enough about this. You listening?
The manner in which we were treated and greeted and acted toward was just awesome. It made me believe that the people of the United States are just wonderful.
Time is of the essence. Team up with Honor Flight today and help give our veterans one more tour with honor.